Through some scriptures tonight, and I'm sure you that God's going to bless you tonight. He's got a good word for you in due season, and the due season is tonight on a Wednesday night, September. Praise God. I have to start out saying I'm a little bit uncomfortable tonight. And I'll tell you why. Because I don't wear blue jeans. And I never let my shirt hang out. If my dad was here tonight, he'd be like, get that shirt tucked in. And I'm 49 years old, and he would still be telling me that. But I got all dressed. I had black slacks on, nice shirt picked out. And Lydia, my princess, I said, what do you think, boo-boo, this one or this one? And she said, blue jeans, Dad. So the times, they are a-changing. Pastor Chris is getting updated here a little bit, so I feel a little uncomfortable. I feel like I should run back here and tuck this shirt in. But we're going to be all right tonight. Hey, God's doing great things in our church. Amen. Amen, guys. We are so blessed to be in this church for such a time as this. Just the last weekend, you know, we were, Pastor John's ministering on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and he's going to be doing it for the next two weekends. And we had 135 people get filled with the Holy Spirit last weekend. Praise God. I know you know this. Maybe some of you haven't been here for a while. The week before that, we had over 400 people get baptized in water. Praise God. I mean, hey guys, these things don't happen in everyday churches, you know. They just don't happen all around. And you know what? Over 178 people received the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the most important number, right? Guys, our church will never be the same. It should never be the same. We should have such an expectancy that things are going to change around here. When that many people get baptized in water, when that many people get saved, when that many people get filled with the Holy Spirit, things are going to be changing. You talk about change. Praise God. So it's such a blessing. I get to talk to other pastors and ministries throughout the week, and I'm always asking them, what's God doing in your church? What's He doing in your ministry? And then they always ask me. And I always ask them first because, boy, I get a smile on my face. And let me tell you what the Lord is doing in Cranberry Township. And man, the first thing I hear most of the time is like, what? That many? You know, there's churches, guys. I don't know about you, but I've been in churches where I went, you know, for a good portion of my life and never seen that many people get saved. And we have it on one weekend. So God is doing something mighty around here. And we all have a part in that. So it's all credited to our accounts. But man, it's so good to be hooked up to a good Bible-believing church. Amen? Have such a good pastors. And so tonight I want to share with you, as we were praising and worshiping the Lord, I heard some things on the inside of me. I heard Yahweh, and that's one of the names of the Lord. And Yahweh means He is everything that you will ever need. So I don't care what you came in here tonight. I don't care what needs in your life. I don't care what kind of situation you're in, or you might be in a dire need or situation. God is everything that you will ever need. And He's here tonight to meet your needs. And I got some good news for you tonight. You're going to make it. You're going to come through. So that's what He wanted me to share with you. And everything that I share with you tonight is going to confirm that God is for you. And He wants to help you make it through. So you're not by yourself. And the scriptures we look at tonight, guys, I want you to make them personable. I want you to see how it applies to your life. These are familiar scriptures. If you've been in the Word of God for any amount of time, you've read through these, you might have studied them. But I hope that God takes us a little bit deeper tonight, just through a couple scriptures. So He wants to encourage some people tonight. And I know that He really spoke to me and blessed me in preparing for this. And that's one of the blessings of being able to share, is you get to prepare. And God shows you so many things, it's just tough to get them all in a half hour. So we're going to get right at it. If you will, open up your Bibles to Hebrews 2, chapter 2. Pastor John started last week with chapter 1. And I'm going to pick right up there on chapter 2. And you can follow in your outlines, or if you have the Bible, your Bible in front of you, these will be good scriptures to underline. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 to 15. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, that's you and I, He Himself, Jesus, likewise shared in the same, that through death He might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Boy, that's good news. Amen. Listen, you might be, I hope you can, one time or another, you found yourself in this verse. We were all there at one time. You might say, I'm there right now, Pastor Chris. I have fears. I don't know how I'm going to make it. I don't even know if I got enough money to make it through the end of the month. I got a bad report from the doctor. I don't know what that means. You might have fear of that. We're going to look at some other fears tonight too. But Jesus is saying that He released those who had fear of death. All fear leads to death. Okay? All fear leads to death. Fear is not good. It's the opposite of faith. And God wants to make sure that you and I don't tolerate fear of any kind in our life. Okay, so He's already speaking to every one of us. Because when you push comes to shove, there are fears that we have in our life. He wants to eradicate them tonight. He wants to get them out of there completely. So some people are going to get set free tonight. I think that's exciting. Okay, but let's look at it a little bit deeper here. Jesus changed everything. Say everything. When Jesus came on the scene, guys, He changed everything. He gave Himself, He who never sinned, for you and I. And the Bible says that He, Jesus, that destroyed Him, the devil, in the power of death. So, we have nothing to fear. Jesus already eradicated that. He already took care of that. Fear is a tormentor. If you have fear or phobia of something, you know that it's a tormentor. You know that it keeps you idle. You know that there's places you won't go, things that you won't do because of fear. Jesus wants to eradicate that tonight, guys. Fear of flying is the fear of dying. Do you know that? You're afraid to fly because you're afraid the plane will go down. Fear of heights is the fear of dying. Now, I don't want to go up that high because I just don't know, I might fall off and die. People have fear of elevators. Why? I go up the elevator, especially high elevators, like the top of these tall skyscrapers. I go up that high, I just don't like elevators, I don't like to be tucked in a little cubicle like that. Why? Fear of the elevator falling down or cutting loose and dying. Fear, all fear leads to death. And Jesus said in that verse right there that He has released us from that bondage of fear. You don't have to have fear, guys. That is the deception of the deceiver. He wants to deceive you into thinking that you have fear of whatever that is, a phobia of whatever. Can I share a good one with you? I had a friend growing up. He was afraid of bridges. And one of my brothers, when he was younger, was afraid of bridges. He didn't like to go across bridges. So, Pastor Chris was always the one driving when we were growing up, and I had five buddies that we hung around all the time. We were always together. And you'll know this bridge. It's the Monaca Rochester Bridge. They had just got done renovating it and made it a little bit wider. And we used to call it the Beaver Valley Mall Bridge because that was the bridge that led us to the mall, and that was the big mall at the time. Well, I had a carload. I had a 75 Super Beetle. It was actually my mom's. And I was driving. It was loaded up with six people. And we're on the bridge. And what I would used to do is I'd used to swerve towards the side just a little bit, you know. Just a little bit. It was a Super Beetle, so you could do that. And I'd be like, we're going over. We're going over. You know when Pastor John says you take stupid pills? Well, I took lots of stupid pills. And I would say, we're going over. And he'd start freaking out. Well, this one time, I said, we're going over, wasn't paying attention, traffic stopped, and when I looked up, my 75 Super Beetle was going under one of these monster trucks, and it wedged itself right underneath it. We went up onto the VW sign on top of the hood there, and it held up some traffic, and man, it was a chore to get that little VW Super Beetle out from underneath that big 4x4 truck. So it was tormenting to me when I had to go home and tell my mom that I ran underneath a 4x4 in her Super Beetle. And I didn't do that a whole lot more after that. But fear is torment. It's bondage. It'll keep you idle. It'll keep you non-productive. We don't want to be non-productive. We want to be productive. We're supposed to be producing fruit. We know that. We've been released from that bondage. We've been released from that fear. We as Christians no longer should have a fear of dying. Somebody agrees. You can say amen. I like to hear amens. I like to hear people talk back. The devil doesn't have anything on us, guys. He has nothing on us. There we go. Bad reports? Wait a minute. Bad report, devil? Come here, devil. Come here. You trying to give me a bad report? Listen, your worst report, and the worst that could happen, is I transition to heaven. Let me tell you about heaven, devil. It's a great place. No more sickness, no more disease, no more lack, no more suffering, no more anything. When you have that attitude, when I don't have any fear of dying, when I don't have fear of anything, because everything leads to death, if I don't have fear of dying, then the devil will back off because that is his deception. That's what he is trying to do to all of us. John 10:10, steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to isolate you. He wants to get you to where you feel like nobody cares, nobody knows what you're going through, and then if that is played out, that'll lead to death. But what I want you to see is, and you know this, is death has no rule over us. We just looked at that verse. So death, wait a minute, devil, let me clue you in on something. I don't die. As a Christian, we don't die. We just transition into our heavenly home. Praise God. And I've been doing a lot of funerals. Pastor John Spencer has been doing a lot of funerals. There's been a lot of funerals, you know, in and around the church. And a lot of people say, oh, well, that person has passed away. No, they haven't. Or a lot of times they'll say, let's say our final goodbyes. And I actually used to say that. And I will not say that no more. I'm not going to say goodbye. I'm going to say, see you later. Amen? See you later. If you lost a loved one recently, or you lost one, you know, and last year, or, you know, just in times past, guys, the Lord is just making it even more evident that it's just going to be a short period of time before we're all back together. This life goes by so quick, and we get up there, they're going to be like, wow, you're here already? Come on, man. You know, death is not the final resting place for us as Christians, and death has no sting over you and I. And if you and I can get that attitude, and if we can have that mindset, man, there's nothing that we can't do, praise God, because there's nothing that can hinder us. We can look the devil right in the eye. I'm in a singing mood tonight, so you're going to hear some songs. So we can look the devil right in the eye and say, devil, when he brings a bad report, when he says, you ain't going to make it, you're never going to get that promotion, I'm going to take you out, you got this disease, you can look at him right in the eye, just stare him right down and say, I got 2 tickets to paradise. Gonna pack my bags, I leave tonight. Little Eddie Money, you know what I mean? Turn, you know. He's looking to see how far he can push us. That's his mode of operation. How much can he play this out in your and my life? We're not going to put up with it anymore. We're on to his devices. Amen? But I want to concentrate, guys, on the first part of that verse 14. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same. What's that mean? What's that mean to you? That he himself, Jesus, likewise shared in the same. John 1:1-3, some of my favorite passages in the Bible. It says, in the beginning, and it's in your notes there, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. You could say, in the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. Jesus was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Jesus, and without Him nothing was made that was made. Guys, so many times we want to, I wish I could just see Jesus. I wish I could have been like the disciples. I wish I could have just hung out with Him. Listen, it's saying to you and I, this Word, you want to know how Jesus would react? You want to know what God would do in a situation? What He would say to somebody? How He would respond? All we got to do is look at His Word. This Word is Jesus. This is His will. His Word is His will. Okay? And one of my favorite verses, it goes on, how's that pertain to you and I? Now, we have an understanding of that. You've heard that many times in this church, that the Word was with God and the Word was God, and we know that was Jesus. But how's that pertain to your and my life? Okay? John 1:14. And the Word, or the Jesus, became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now this is where it really gets good. And this is where we want to go tonight. Is because this Word became flesh. Became Jesus. Another version says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld Him, and we supped with Him. Meaning we had supper with Him. We could touch Him. John used to lay up against his breast and say, I'm the one He loves. I love that. I would like to think that I could lay up against Jesus' breast and say, I'm the one You love, Jesus. I don't know what the other boys thought about that, but John had revelation of that Jesus loved them. Amen. But they got to eat with Him. They got to walk and talk with Him. They fished with Him. They hung out with Him. Because that Word became flesh. Guys, that's good news to you and I, that the Word became flesh. Because that's how we can relate to God. That's how we can relate to Jesus. He was the Son of God, but just as importantly, He was the Son of Man. And we're going to look at that tonight. Okay? Jesus is referred to as the living Word. You know that, right? There's the Scripture to confirm that the Word became flesh. Jesus is called the living Word. The Word came and walked amongst us and did all those things with us. You know that you and I are called to be the living Word to this messed up, hurting world? What's that mean, Pastor Chris? That we are supposed to be so full of the Word, He has given us life in abundance to the full till it overflows into other people's lives. Amen? That's where life really gets to be good, guys, when the overflow is blessing other people. Yeah, I got enough for myself, but that's okay. That's how God works. I want to give out to you. I want to see your life blessed. I want to impart into you. I want whatever you need love. I got more than enough love. You need some mercy. You need some peace. Hey, come on over here. I got more than enough peace. Amen? We're the living Word. We're to be the living Word in this to this world that we live in. Hebrews 2:16 in your notes says, for indeed, He does not give aid to angels, but He does give aid to the seed of Abraham. You know that we are the seed of Abraham, right? Right? If you didn't, you do tonight. You are the seed of Abraham. So check this out. Can you just see Gabriel and Michael up there in heaven or wherever they're at? What's up with this? How do they rate these humans that they get the aid of God Almighty and we don't? We think of angels as being these most, and they are, they're most powerful beings, you know, like, you know, they're God's elite, and they are. But this verse is saying to you and I that He doesn't give aid to angels. Angels can only minister the Word of God. They can only act on the Word of God. They don't have a free choice. They don't have a say in the matter. A few of them tried it and ended up in hell. Okay, with the devil. They're called demons. Okay? But I like this, that God does give aid to you and I, the children of Abraham. Not only does He give us aid, He gives the angels to us to aid us. They attend to God's Word. When the Word of God is spoken through your and my mouth, through the pulpit, through the written Word, they are sent to minister that Word. That's all that they're called to do. Okay, that's all that they can do. They act on God's Word and they minister, they're sent to minister to you and I. They're sent to assist us, to minister to us, to attend to us. Now, we always think of angels, and the thing we think mostly about angels is they protect us, right? We always think of guardian angel, you know, or I have an angel that's been watching over me. And that's correct. I believe that. And they are to protect us. And I'll give you two quick examples of that too in my life, because I think examples, illustrations help it to hit home. That same Super Beetle that I had, that 75 Super Beetle, ended up being my car. Because I dented it and smashed it so much that that was my first car. Okay? And what we would do is I would load that car up, a Super Beetle, picture it with six people in it. And there's a little cubby hole in the back, and we'd jam one of them in there. We did. Okay? And the thing to do was, stupid pills, lots of stupid pills we took, we get this car and we load it up. And there's a sharp bend in Zillionopal. It was around Halstead's back there. And we would get that car, try to go 45 to 50 miles an hour around that bend. And we would all shift to the right-hand side to see if we could get up on two wheels. Seriously, stupid pills. But we used to be able to do it. It would just lift up a little bit, enough to scare us all, and then it would drop back down. You know what I mean? So we did this one time. And my little girl's here. I don't know what she's doing here tonight. How'd you get in here? I'm going around the bend. She knows Daddy doesn't do this stuff anymore. We go around the bend. We're trying to get it up on two wheels. And it went off the pavement. And I saw this big tree. Everybody was screaming. It was this big oak tree. It's still there to this day on that corner. And guys, I don't know. All I know is we went through and we were all like white as a ghost. We pulled over to the side. We went back to check on it. The tires went back off the road. You could see where they tore up the grass a little bit. Went right to the tree, through the tree, and then started tearing up the grass after the tree. How's that work? How's that work, guys? And you know what? I never recall this story. I don't recall hardly any of these stories till I prepare. And then the Lord brings them to my remembrance. I don't like to remember this stuff. A lot of it, because it's the old Chris, you know, and it's old things are passed away, all things have come new. But I find it interesting, the more I get to share, the more the Lord brings these old stories up for illustrations. Another one is I had a Buick LeSabre, big old boat. And I had a first date with this girl from Butler, and it was winter time, and it was snowy, I can remember really cold, and she lived in Timbuktu up there somewhere in Butler, Cabot or something, and I had no idea where I was at. I'm cruising down this lane, and we come upon a one-lane bridge, one of these old one-lane bridges that still have the cables and just one lane. I come down on it too fast, and when I got in the middle of it, I saw there was a big ice patch. I hit my brakes a little bit, just tapped them. We did a 360 and ended up facing the way we were going. Wait a minute, now think about this. A 360 on a one-lane bridge in a Buick LeSabre. How's that work? I don't know. It's ministering angels. It's guardian angels. Why am I bringing that up? Because, guys, you've been protected numerous times, too. We all have been. Why? Why does God do that? Why does He have ministering angels guard? Because He has a plan and purpose for each and every one of our lives. He has a plan and purpose, and He wants to see it fulfilled. I believe that I'm in a portion of fulfilling it right now. But if I'd have got taken out by that tree on that bend, or if I went over that bridge, it wouldn't have been a pretty day. God has a plan and purpose for your life, and He's protected you and saved you so that you can accomplish those things. Hebrews 2, 17 to 18. Hebrews 2, 17 to 18. Therefore, in all things, say all things. He had to be made like His brethren, that's you and me, that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that He Himself has suffered being tempted, He is able to aid those who are tempted. We're going to camp out here for just a minute. So many people, so many Christians cannot relate to God. And if you can't relate to God and you can't relate to Jesus and what He's done for you, it's going to be very difficult to walk in the fullness of what He has planned for your life. I know, speaking from where I'm coming from, is I didn't have a close relationship with God, and I kept questioning, why aren't these things working for me? Why can't I have these things? I see them working in other people's lives, but it was because I didn't know. I didn't have knowledge of it. I was ignorant. But God is saying to you and I that in all things, He had to be made like His brethren, like you and me. And we're going to look at that today. It says we must not only be able to relate to the Son of God portion, but the Son of Man portion also. This is the reason that He was tempted in all ways like you and I. Son of God didn't need to be tempted. Son of Man, just like you and I, why was He tempted in all ways? So He could relate to what you and I are going through. Not only could He relate to what we're going through, but more importantly, to us, that we know that He knows what we're going through. I'm going to repeat that to you. Not only so He could relate to what we're going through here, like we as children here on this earth, but more importantly to us, that we know that Jesus knows exactly what we're going through. And I don't believe a lot of Christians, I know for the longest time, I didn't believe that. I saw God being up here, me being down here, He's in heaven, powerful dude. I'm down here. He doesn't know the muck that I'm in. I mean, He knows that He's got a lot more going on than what to be messing with my problems. That's the mindset I used to have. I didn't think that, not that He didn't care, there was just way too much going on for Him to get involved in my petty little things that were messing me up. Most people do not really believe that Jesus was tempted in every way as you and I were and are. He could not be tempted if there was not a temptation. He could not be tempted if there was not a temptation. So what do you think that looks like? What do you think that looks like, that Jesus was tempted in every way as you and I? Come on, let your mind go there. As I was preparing, I said, I never really thought about that. But Jesus, forget the Son of God portion, that is most powerful. And I'm just saying, don't forget it, but set it aside for a second. And think upon the Son of Man. The Son of Man being tempted in every way, aspect, as you and I. What would that look like? What would it look like? What is a man tempted by? What would Jesus, the Son of Man, be tempted with and tempted by? I'm going somewhere with this. I want you to be able to relate to it. Could it be, pretty woman, walking down the streets of Capernaum, the kind I'd like to meet, pretty woman. Could it be? Could be? Huh? You know, in most churches, they would stone you for that. I'd be stoned. I'm not talking about that kind of stoned. I'm talking about I'd be putting my hands up here and they'd be throwing rocks at you, that Jesus could be tempted by looking at a pretty woman. He was. If He was tempted in every way as you and I, He was at one time tempted with that. Now, He didn't give in to that temptation. You know, make sure I'm clear on that. But He was tempted in every way as you and I. Whatever you've been tempted with in this life, guys, whatever you've had a temptation with, Jesus has been there, done it. He was labeled the carpenter's son, right? And we know that He was a carpenter Himself. Can you imagine the cabinets and the furniture that Jesus made? He is the guy that placed all the stars up in the sky and the planets He set them in and made the moon and the sun. Can you imagine the furniture that He made? Come on. You know that He got an A in shop every time. You know it. But we're talking about being tempted in every way as you and I. What carpenter do you know that at one time or another missed the nail and hit his thumb? Oh, I can just think about it right now. It's happened to me a couple times. And you hit that bad boy, and you don't hit the nail, but you hit your thumb. There's things come out of your mouth that you never would have said before. Right? Now, I don't swear, and I never was allowed to swear. That wasn't tolerated in our house, but I've said some things that weren't correct when I smashed my thumb. Jesus was tempted in that same way as you and I. He knows what you're going through. He knows what we've been through. You ever been tempted to give up? Come on. Jesus has been there. You ever feel inadequate? Jesus has. Wait a minute, Pastor Chris. You're saying Jesus inadequate, the Son of God, Son of Man? Yeah. He had that temptation. How about, that's it. I've had enough. I'm not doing it no more. I can't continue to go through this. Jesus has been there. He's been there. He has had that same temptation. This ought to bring great comfort to you and I. I said, this ought to bring great comfort to you and I, that our Master, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, has been through everything that you will ever been through, that you ever will be going through. He's been there. He's done it. He's went through it. And He says, I want to help you get through it. Why? We always say He never leaves us nor forsakes us. We're never alone when we're a Christian. You can't use that excuse anymore. You know, we're accountable for what we know. You can never have another pity party now. You can't. It's the only party that Jesus never shows up for is a pity party. He's already been there. He's already went through it. You can no longer say, no one knows what I'm going through. You wouldn't know. You haven't been in my shoes. And you may be right. In a church this size, for me to stand up here and say, I've been through everything that you've been through, that would be a lie. But I do know the one who has been through everything that you're going through. And He wants to help you. He wants to encourage you. He wants you to know that He's been there. He had to go through the same things that you're going through. Doesn't that give new meaning to Philippians 4:13 that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me? I can do them because my Master has been in the exact same spot that I've been in. He's been right down there in the muck, in the pit, right where I've been. And He made it. He did it. We're talking about the Son of Man here. Hebrews 4:14-15. Man, I got to keep going. Give me a half hour. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all ways, say always, tempted as we are, yet without sin. The major difference here, guys, is He didn't give in to the temptation. Okay, so we've seen that Jesus our Lord was tempted in every way as you and I have been. But there's another principle at work here that can help you and I tremendously if we get understanding of it. Jesus overcame. He sinned not. He didn't give in to the temptation. But you say, Pastor Chris, that was Jesus. That was the Son of God. Yes, it was, and we don't want to deny that truth. But did He not say to you and I and John, that the works that I do, you will do these works, and greater works than these shall you do? What do we think of as faith-filled people? We think of signs and wonders and miracles. What if the things that I do, you will do, would not be sinning? Huh? Forget the signs and miracles. Wouldn't it be a miracle if we didn't sin for a day? Come on. All right? We want these big, elaborate things, but what about if we could just not sin? How did Jesus do it? How did He do it? How did He go through all these temptations and not give in to them? And I listed, this isn't an exclusive number of things. This is just what I come up with in my study time. Constant communion with the Father. He was constantly praying to the Father. He was constantly fellowshipping with the Father, constantly talking to the Father. If I'm constantly talking to the Father and hanging out with Him, I'm more likely not to sin. Number two, acknowledging Him in all His ways. Proverbs 3:5-6. When you and I will acknowledge Him in all our ways, how can we do that in all our ways, Pastor Chris? It's very simple, guys. I've applied this principle to my life, and man, it saved me from a bunch of trouble. And it helps me tremendously as being a pastor. I don't make a phone call. I don't meet with anybody. I don't go anywhere without first saying, Lord, I'm acknowledging You. I want You to set my course straight, light my path so that my feet do not stumble. When I acknowledge Him in all my ways, I'm giving Him place into my situation. Man, if I do that, I'm less likely to sin. Amen? Number three, I keep His word before myself day and night. Does He not tell us to do that in Proverbs chapter 4? Joshua 1:8, Keep that word before you day and night. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these other things will be added unto you. We want to put God first. We want to keep His word before us day and night. It tells us in Proverbs to hang it around our neck like a necklace. It says to write it, put it around our hand like a bracelet. Why? Because if I'm constantly staring at the Word of God, and if I'm constantly feeding on the Word of God, I'm less likely to sin. Number four, do not forsake getting together with other believers. That's me paraphrasing. Do not forsake the gathering together as a church family. Listen, how we get in trouble, where we get off guard, where we miss it, the devil wants to isolate you. I already mentioned this. He wants to get you to feel like you're all alone. Nobody could possibly know what you're going through. It's so important for you to stay hooked up to church. Be here whenever you can. If you're having a rough time, that's what we're here for. That's our job as pastors. That's my job. That's the job of the leaders in this church, is to help you and encourage you and exhort you. You're going to make it. You're going to come through this. We're here for you. And the last one, number five, or just, you know, the last one I have listed here is a dependency upon His grace, His enablement, His equipping, His mercy. Oh, man. Don't ever forget, He's so merciful to you and I. All those stupid pills I took, boy, He had mercy on me. He did, and I'll forever be grateful to Him. And then His forgiveness. Man, He forgives us day in and day out. We can mess up as soon as we get out of this building. And if we ask for forgiveness, He forgives us. Isn't that good news? I'll leave you with this. I'm going to have to leave you with this because it's just not enough time. I want to give you an illustration that really benefited my life. And then I'm going to turn it over to Pastor John Spencer. I want you to picture this, guys. An executive boardroom. You might have heard this illustration before, but boy, every time I meditate on it, blessing me. Executive boardroom. You've maybe have never been in an executive boardroom, but you've seen them on TV. A big office with a big, long executive table with chairs all around it. At one end of the executive table is God Almighty. On the other end of the executive table is the devil. Half of the table has ministering angels around it. The other half of the table has demons and the devil cohorts around it. And there's one empty seat. And your name is called. And you have to go into this boardroom meeting. And you have to take a seat in that chair. Soon as you sit down, the devil starts. Yeah, you missed it. You liar. You're no Christian. You wouldn't do that if you're a Christian. You lied. You sinned. Blah, blah, blah. And the demons are all like sneering and jeering. And he pulls out this long list of everything that we've missed it, where we've missed it. All our shortcomings, all our faults. And he lays it down in front of us. And when he's done making all the accusations, he says, now what do you have to say, huh? What are you going to tell God now? And you sit there, maybe your shoulders are like this, because all the things you see, you're sitting in the presence of God. All of a sudden, the door opens up. And a hand falls on your shoulder. And it's Jesus. Jesus picks up the long list and says, you can leave now. I got it from here. He sits down in the chair. Let me tell you guys, when you walk out of that boardroom, you got a hop in your step. You got a smile on your face. I know that my Lord Jesus Christ, who's been through everything that's on that list, He's going to take care of it for me. He already has taken care of it for me. And you know what? I can go on. I can make it. And I'm going to make it. And He's in there. And He's going to take care of everything for me. He's ever making intercession for you and I. Amen? Amen. Remember that illustration. Okay? God is for you. All right? He's for you. He loves you. And He wanted me to share that with you tonight. He loves you so much, there is nothing that He wouldn't do for you and I. Nothing. Okay? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, thank You so much for Your love. Thank You so much for Your mercy and Your kindness and Your compassion. Thank You for forgiving us of our sins. Thank You for making a way. Thank you that you know our infirmities. You've been there. You know exactly what we're going through. You can relate to us, and we can relate to you. We can do it, Father, with your help. We rely on you. We have to have you. Father, I pray right now in Jesus' name. Anyone in this room, Lord, doesn't have any idea what we're talking about, that's never made that decision to come to you, Jesus, that doesn't know you personally, that tonight, I know you brought them here, Father, for that reason. So if you were, something was to happen to you tonight, if the devil was to come to you and bring some kind of accusation, if something was to happen to your life tonight, do you know where you spend eternity? Please, man, don't leave this place without knowing that. To find out that you did not make the right decision, or to find out that you're in the wrong place for eternity, oh, don't take that chance. So I'm going to make it real quick here. We've talked about it. Jesus is the only answer. He wants to help you. He wants to save you. If you would say to me, Pastor Chris, would you please pray for me? I want to know that beyond a shadow of doubt. I want what he has. I want Jesus in my life. No one's going to embarrass you. No one's going to single you out. No one's going to make you come forward. I'm going to ask you just right now, take a step of faith. You came to church tonight. Take a step of faith. Just slip up your hand real quick and put it right back down. If you want Jesus, anyone at all, okay, thank you. Thank you. He says, if we ask, we shall have. If we seek, we will find. If we knock, the door will be open. Anybody else? Anybody else need Jesus tonight? Okay, church, as we keep our heads bowed and our eyes closed, let's all pray this prayer together with this soul that wants Jesus in their life. Say, Father God, thank you for bringing me here tonight. Father God, thank you for sending Jesus. I want Jesus in my life. I ask you into my heart. Thank you for forgiving me of my sins. Thank you for giving me another start, another beginning. Thank you for dying for my sins. Thank you for raising Jesus from the dead, Father. Thank you that he's preparing a place for me. I will serve you. I will follow after you. And I decree that Jesus is my Lord. Praise God. Welcome to the family of God. Your family now. And this family just keeps growing here at Victory Family Church. So let's give them a round of applause. Welcome.